Good morning. How good it is to be together on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost. A bit of a rainy Sunday morning, but certainly a sunny Sunday here as we are together. I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and to share God's love with you. Just a couple of announcements this morning as we get started. If this is your first Sunday back to in-person worship since we've gathered in June, take a moment, if you would, please, to identify one of the little rainbow-colored cards in the pew rack and fill it out. Pastor Addie and I are simply trying to keep track of who has returned to worship and who has not yet, or if there are visitors among us. If you've already filled out one of these cards, don't fill out another one, okay? We've already got you. And then when you've filled out the card, simply lay it on the pew and leave it there. We will pick it up after worship. Also, a reminder that this coming Saturday, the 17th of July, is Lansdale Day here in Lansdale. And our creation stewards are going to have a booth right out in front of St. John's for all to come to and visit. They're going to have some helpful information about lantern flies and indigenous plants and how we might be better stewards of God's creation. So if you're planning to attend Lansdale Day, make a point of stopping by and greeting our creation stewards and chatting with them. And I understand there's also going to be some special activities for the children as well. I think that's all of the announcements this morning. I'm going to invite you to join with me in taking a deep breath as we shift our gears. Breathe in the presence of God here among us in our midst. Breathe out that which might be distracting you or weighing you down. May we sense God's presence together as we worship this day. Amen. As we gather to worship this morning, very appropriately, our theme is God-inspired joy. Let me assure you that God-inspired joy is in a class all by itself. It is substantive and decidedly different than, say, for instance, the happiness triggered by an ice cream cone on a warm summer day, or a winning round of golf, or even an afternoon with a wonderful friend. God-inspired joy runs deep and washes over us in a way that is hard to describe, but is nonetheless memorable and real. Here's what I've discovered about God-inspired joy. It often catches us by surprise, comes at unlikely times in unlikely places. We might be totally alone in silence, or in the midst of a busy crowd, or waiting in line at the grocery store checkout counter. God-inspired joy is orchestrated by God. We can't make it happen, but we can access it at all times. Sadly, we miss it often because we are so self-absorbed or preoccupied, distracted by the many stimuli constantly coming our way. Thus, the importance of doing what we are doing right here, right now, stepping aside from the world for a bit so that we might be calmly attentive and tuned in to God-inspired joy, the joy we might experience as we worship now, in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession. It is printed in our bulletin. Let us pray together. Loving God, at every turn we are reminded that you are the source of all that is right and good in our world. You have created our universe, breathed life into every living creature, and poured out your grace and mercy with abandon, while tossing joy our direction every opportunity. Sadly, we miss so much of what you generously heap upon us because we are too caught up in our own lives and our own little worlds, consumed by worries, what-ifs, and anxiety about things over which we have no control. Forgive us, gracious God, and help us to trust you enough to unclench our stress-tightened hands and our anxious hearts so that your joy might wash over us, healing and equipping us to face each new day with anticipation and hope. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Certainly knowing that we have a forgiving God is a source of incredible joy. My prayer is that you will claim this gift, the gift that is ours now that we have confessed our sins, knowing that our slates have been wiped clean. We have a chance to start anew, right here, right now, and every single time we confess our sins. May we claim this gift. May we live knowing it makes a difference, and may we share it freely with those we encounter along life's way. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our scripture lesson today are words from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it, for he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And now I have a special message for our children who are with us, those who might be listening at home, and of course, all of us being young at heart. So listen closely. I have an older sister, which means that when I was younger, I had to share everything. And trust me, she would probably say the same thing. I bet a lot of you know what I'm talking about, whether you are the older sibling or the younger one or somewhere in the middle, or even if you're an only child, there is always someone you have to share with. The trouble with having a sister to share with is that your stuff gets mixed together, and suddenly, nothing is just yours anymore. All of a sudden, what was once your most beloved Christmas gift mysteriously ends up in her room. Or your favorite book is now on her bookshelf. And of course, the reverse is also true, and I got to play with all of her stuff and accidentally steal her books, too, but that is not the point. The point is, sharing is hard. Sometimes you just want your stuff to stay your stuff. You want it all to yourself, which is why, as a child, I took to writing my name on things, particularly in my books. And I had sort of forgotten about this until a few years ago when I had discovered that my mom had taken all of my childhood books into her first grade classroom to share with her students. I was not too pleased about this. And the books that belonged to me had written in the front, "This book belongs to Adelaide." I even used my full name because I meant business. Someone else I know writes her name in all of her books, too, although in a much gentler and neater fashion. And that person is Reverend Sue. Now, Reverend Sue, as many of you know, is the most generous sharer of her books that I know. And when I borrow one from her and see her name in the front cover, it makes me smile. And it makes me take extra special care of what she has lent me until I get it back to her, because I know that Reverend Sue's books are precious to her. I bet all of you would do the same, too. In fact, I bet a lot of you have done the same when you've borrowed some of Reverend Sue's books. When we know something belongs to someone else, and that thing means a lot to them, we want to be sure to honor it and treat it with respect and love. Speaking of belongings, the first line of the psalm I just read, Psalm 24, reminds us that the earth belongs to the Lord and everything that's in it, the whole world and all who live in it, all claimed by God. It's as though every single thing and every single person on this earth has written on them, "This belongs to God." Now, we know that God's name isn't literally stamped on every single tree, every single person, every single object, but in a way, God's name is written all over the world because God created it and everything within it. But unlike me, God doesn't claim the world so he can keep it all to himself and no one else can enjoy it. In fact, it's quite the opposite. God is all about sharing the most precious of his creations. Thank God, God isn't like me and doesn't want all of God's stuff to just stay God's stuff. So when we think about the world belonging to God, each person belonging to God, each little bit of creation belonging to God, I hope it changes the way that we treat that person or thing. I hope that seeing God's name all over something makes us smile just like seeing Reverend Sue's name does when I look on the inside cover of her books. I hope that knowing that the world belongs to God helps us take extra special care of what God has lent us and honor it with our love and our respect. So, Reverend Sue, this is a book that I borrowed from you. I'm done with it. Thank you for reminding me to share and to take care and to give thanks that God does the same. Let's take time to pray now, and then we will end by saying our Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for sharing your precious world with us and for claiming each one of us with so much love and care. Help us to treat every person, everything, as though they are one of your beloved creations on loan to us, because they are. We are. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It is always so good to have wonderful music to listen to before I preach. A good thing. I invite you to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, we are listening for you. As always, we need a word from you to guide us in our living, to help us through the days ahead. So open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds. In the midst of my words, may your word be clearly heard. Amen. If I were to ask for a show of hands, wondering how many of you could tell me the first line of Psalm 23, I have a feeling that there would be a lot of hands waving in the air. Because not only can many of you tell me the first line of Psalm 23, you could probably recite it for me, in King James English, of course, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But if I were to ask you to share the opening line of Psalm 24, and you had not just heard Pastor Addie's children's message, see, that sort of spoiled my entry line here, you wouldn't have known what the first line of that psalm was, because let's just say it's tough to be in the shadow of Psalm 23. 23 is a hard act to follow. But what comes in Psalm 24 is important. Truths that we need to learn by heart to help us on our faith journey together. So that's where we're going to focus our attention this morning. Psalm 24 is identified as a Psalm of David, as are many of the 150 psalms in our Psalter. Early on in the psalm, David poses an important question. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? At first glance, it sounds like a question about who gets to be in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, close to God's sacred space. But if we look more closely, I believe it's a question about who gets to be in God's presence? Who gets to experience God up close and personal? And the answer comes quickly. Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false or swear deceitfully. Now, those of you who know me know that my next question is going to be, okay, what does it mean to have clean hands and pure hearts? How do we get to be in God's presence, up close and personal? Let's look at clean hands first. And let me assure you that this has to do with more than simply making sure our hands are clean and sanitized and germ-free, although most of us are pretty good at that by now. What are clean hands? What do they look like? Clean hands do not steal, do not grab, do not hurt, do not destroy. Clean hands give, share, help, comfort, guide. Clean hands lift people up rather than putting them down. Throughout the pages of Scripture, numerous references are made to hands, God's hands and human hands. In fact, our Hebrew Scripture lesson for this morning, which we did not read, but I highly recommend to you to check out, comes from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 12 through 19. Unfortunately, there's a gap in the middle. It's left out. And you know me, I'm going to read what's left out. And the part that's left out happens to be about hands. Let me just briefly share the story that's recorded there. The Ark of God is being relocated. Now, the Ark, quite simply, and I don't say this to minimize the importance of it, was essentially a piece of sacred church furniture. It was where the devout Jews believed God resided. It was holy, almost untouchable. It was being relocated and surrounded by a parade of people who were singing and dancing with all of their might. Then suddenly, the tone of the event is changed. It becomes very subdued, and only one trumpet is sounding, and only King David is dancing. So what has happened in between? Well, if we read the part that is left out, we discover that the two individuals who had been entrusted with the care of carrying the ark and making sure it stayed on the cart, being pulled by the oxen, Uzzah and Ahio, well, as they were going along, the ark jolted on the cart and looked like it was going to fall off. So what does Uzzah do? He immediately reaches out his hands to catch it, to keep it from falling. And according to Scripture, he was immediately struck dead by God. And I think to myself, oh my goodness, he was trying to do a good thing. He didn't want that ark to come crashing down onto the ground, and so he put out his hands. But the belief was, this was so sacred that if one touched it, one would die. Now, I don't know if God struck Uzzah down, or something else may have happened. And I tried to take away from this something that makes sense to me, and I conclude, since the ark embodied God's power and presence, the clear message of this passage is that we ought never to take for granted or take lightly God's power or presence. But quite honestly, if I had been Uzzah, I would have reached out my hands as well, trying to keep that ark from falling. We seek to use our hands in good ways. Singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer has written a song entitled "The Work of Our Hands." In that song, she tips her hat to those who use skillets and pans, the work of their hands, those with shovels and rakes and buckets, those who use their hands on wood and steel and bricks and loud machines, those who stock shelves, carry loads, make jam, can beans. In other words, those who use their hands to do something constructive, helpful, lasting, meaningful. Clean hands are used to help and to create. But hands may also be used in awful ways. It just so happens that today's gospel lesson is the unfortunate description of the events leading up to the beheading of John the Baptist. King Herod made a promise while Herodias' daughter was dancing, had to keep that promise, and the promise involved the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The hands of those who beheaded him, not clean hands. But let me assure you, King Herod's hands would not be clean either, for the blood of John the Baptist would be forever on them. And as I thought about that story, I thought about Pontius Pilate during the trial of Jesus shortly before his crucifixion. Remember Pilate washing his hands, thinking that he was going to make it clear that he had no part in the death of Jesus? Well, let me assure you, washing those hands did not make them clean. Thankfully, there are many, many stories that contrast with the bad use of hands. For example, Jesus using hands to feed over 5,000 people. Jesus using hands to create a clay to put on the eyes of a blind person and grant him sight. Jesus using his hands to reach out and raise up those who had been unable to walk. Jesus using hands to bridge gaps between people. You know something about clean hands? One of the things I've noticed is that seldom are they perfectly manicured. They're usually rough, worn, often gnarled and dry from years of work and serving and reaching out to others. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts. What does a pure heart look like? A pure heart is honest. A pure heart is open, permeable, vulnerable, without ulterior motive. It has been said it is only with the heart that we see rightly. Yes, with a pure heart, a heart open to God and God's people. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands, pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not speak deceitfully. Lifting up our souls to what is false would be worshiping someone other than God. And as for swearing deceitfully, you know how many times I have talked about the importance of our words. What we say matters. How we say it matters. Words have power, incredible power. Power for good, power for evil. Power to lift up, power to push down. Power to help, power to heal, power to hurt. Power to bring about positive change, power to incite insurrection. Power to make the world better, power to make things worse. We get to choose. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands, pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, who do not swear or speak deceitfully. But even before David makes these statements, he makes that opening statement in Psalm 24 that I want to go back to. I wanted to save the first verse for last, because in so many respects, we will have clean hands, pure hearts, and do those things that give us access to God if we remember what verse 1 of Psalm 24 says. And Pastor Addie has already beautifully addressed that. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We do not possess the earth. God does. We are stewards. And if we remember that, then our ability to access God, to be in the presence of the Holy One, becomes real and possible. A lesson I learned early on in life. I remember well, growing up as a child, I loved going to church. My brothers, not so much. And yes, there were times when I sat in worship as a child that I didn't understand what was going on. I thought the prayers were way too long. And often during the sermon, my mind would wander, and I would engage in what has always been my favorite pastime, and that is people watching. From the family pew in the church where I grew up, we used to sit about halfway back on this side. And I remember looking around, but what I always remember very vividly is what happened after the offering was collected. The ushers would walk up the center aisle toward the front of the church, and together we would stand and sing, and many of you know this, "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." Okay, we don't talk that way anymore, and seldom do we even sing that way. But as a child, I suddenly understood, this doesn't belong to me. All that we have is thine alone. It belongs to God. A trust, O Lord, from thee. Oh, how we have forgotten that. We act as though the world and everything in it belonged to us. We do with it as we choose, and because of that, the earth groans and aches, and in desperation hopes that we will recognize that we are stewards, not possessors of what God has entrusted to our care. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall have access to this awesome and wonderful God without whom we cannot survive? We can ascend that hill. We can stand in the holy place if we remember the importance of hands that give and serve and share and comfort, hearts that are open, vulnerable, trusting, without ulterior motive, words spoken in both kindness and truth that can change the world. We can ascend the hill of the Lord. We can stand in God's holy place if we remember what belongs to whom. The earth is the Lord's. May we remember that. May we live knowing that to be true. And may we dare to be the kind of people who together, individually, and as a community of faith, know what it means not only to access the Holy One, but then to share the gifts of that precious God with those we meet along life's way. Amen.
Be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I have quite a few joys and one concern to share. I'll begin with the joys. We have a lot of people celebrating birthdays. These are out of order, but they're as I wrote them. So Loretta Umstead celebrated a birthday this past Friday, so we celebrate with her. Edna McGinley will celebrate a birthday on Tuesday. Grace Freeman, aunt of Kay Fiala, turns 95 today. And Dan Panachita celebrated a birthday on July 7th. So lots of life to give thanks for this day. Also, We have some visitors in the back, and Andrew asked me to lift them up as a joy. Andrew's family is visiting today from Minnesota, so we welcome them warmly, and we thank you for worshiping with us. And most importantly, we thank you for sharing Andrew with us. And a concern to lift up. You may have noticed the extra beautiful flowers in the front. Those flowers are from the celebration of life of Jason Roush here at St. John's. Jason was the son of Kathy Roush, who some of you may know as our previous church secretary many years ago. So we keep Jason's mom, Kathy, his wife, Missy, and his entire family in our prayers. Knowing, of course, that we always come to a time of worship and prayer with many joys and concerns and names and faces on our own hearts and minds, I invite you to bring those to mind now as you join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, the earth is indeed yours, and all that is in it is claimed by you, the whole world and all that dwells within it. You see and feel right along with us all that this world holds, all that your people experience, all that your creation bears. We come to you in prayer now knowing that you hear our prayers and that they are a powerful source of strength and healing for ourselves, our friends, our family, our community, our creation, our world. But we also know, O God, that accompanying our prayers must be action. We must have clean hands and pure hearts. Our love for you and our faithfulness to your teachings must be lived out loud. So, God, may this time of prayer strengthen us to be your people, your church in the world. We pray that you give us eyes to see the world as you see it, hearts to feel the compassion you feel, and spirits to radiate the light of your love. We pray for the parts of us and for all those who long to feel your presence in the midst of struggle, grief, worry, pain, and regret. For the faces and places and stories that weigh heavy on our minds and hearts, for thoughts that keep us up at night and occupy our minds all day, we give them over to you now, O God, not because they no longer matter to us, but because we cannot carry them alone. And God, we are also grateful for seasons of joy, or even just joyful moments. We lift up and celebrate beside those who are celebrating birthdays, who are welcoming family and friends into their midst, giving thanks for life and for all the good that it holds. We take time now, O God, to pray silently to you, knowing that you hear all of our prayers. God, as we enter into this brand new week, may we continue deeper and deeper into the joy and the reassurance that comes from knowing that we are not alone in the midst of whatever it is we are feeling and experiencing. May we find comfort and hope in knowing that you do indeed hear our prayers this day and each day as we seek to draw closer to you. All of these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
As we prepare to dedicate this morning's offering, a word of thanks to all of you for your generous support of St. John's and its work, especially over the course of the past many very challenging months. Without your loving support and your ongoing presence among us in a variety of ways, we could not keep on keeping on. So may you keep up the generous spirit, and may we always remember that God has given us much so that we might serve much and help others. We take time now to dedicate the gifts, and I invite you to stand as we sing our doxology. Loving God, we give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. We do know from whence all good gifts come, and we thank you for them, God. We offer now these gifts, praying that you will bless them and us, as we seek to be your servants, as we seek to use our hands and hearts to do your work in this world. All of these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Just a reminder, as our service draws to a close, Our fellowship time takes place outdoors, and I know it's a little wet outside, but I believe the rain has stopped. So look for areas that aren't wet to safely stop and chat with those around you, greet your neighbor. And as you go out into the world this day, I pray that you will go out into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And as you do, may the light of God surround you. May the love of God enfold you. May the power of God protect you, and the peace of God remain ever with you. Amen.